Oklahoma last year is like watching the Final Destination.
Yeah.
But if you look at this team this year, a Brent Venables coach team, I'm going to trust on defense. Now you bring in John Mateer, who's an absolute leader, a guy you can have confidence in. Your Superman on offense. Is the schedule daunting? Yes. But I think this year, if they can stay healthy, I know that goes for a lot of teams, they have the roster to compete for an SEC championship.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Crane and Company. If you're a daily watcher, listener, we love you. We appreciate you. Without you, there is no us. And if you're new to the show, welcome home. Come on in to the trust tree.
You're safe.
The dojo. You're safe now. Feel dangerous and also safe. Fellas, it's another prediction day, all right? And we put out on social media in the morning what season record, right? Just season, not postseason, but regular season record we're going to put out. And today, we are talking about Oklahoma,
Boomer
Brent
Sooner.
Venable, John Mateer. You bring in Arbuckle, the OC. Now, we got a full Oklahoma preview with Eddie Radosovich from On3, from Sooner Scoop, I believe it is. You need to make sure and check that out if you haven't seen it. But today, we're going to be predicting their regular season record, these 12 games. And I will say, Conan, I feel like I say this on every show, but we were on Oklahoma early. We were. A lot of us were bought in to what they did in the offseason. And it wasn't just Mateer and Arbuckle. It's also, if you look at what happened to Oklahoma last year, the anomalous injuries, not just at wide receiver, but everywhere. The odds of that happening 2 years in a row are about as good as you being perfectly healthy for 2 years in a row. It really never happens. And then it's that embarrassment factor of watching Texas, your arch rival, come into the SEC, same year you did, get all the way to the SEC championship game, almost win it, then get to the national semifinal while you just sat over there and picked your nose and watched everybody else on TV. I think Oklahoma, the players in that locker room, they're embarrassed, they're pissed off, and that's why not just John Mateer, but the way this team's put together, what they have at the coordinator spots with some of the moves that they've made, bringing in Arbuckle and Brent focusing more on the defense. Do you like this Oklahoma team as much as I do?
Man, I really love this Oklahoma team. And it's kind of like a perfect recipe to have a great season. First of all, Brent Venables, several years in the program now to be able to create some of that stability. Second of all, you brought in a lot of really good players, including a really good quarterback. Key position where you're going to have a playmaker. Then you were able to retain a lot of your talent. This all goes without even talking about Jim Nagy coming in as the GM, which let's see how much that comes into play on the field in year one. But again, stability. And then I'm so glad you talked about the fact that your biggest rival came into the SEC and made the conference championship game in year one. And this was after multiple seasons of everyone saying, well, Texas will come in and adapt well, but not Oklahoma so much. You don't think they're hearing
that
every single day? They were right, but why were they right? Not because Oklahoma's any less than a program. It's because Steve Sarkisian had been able to take those bumps and bruises in the Big 12 to be able to get his culture right. So by the time they came into the SEC, he was already rocking and rolling. Now we're going to get to see Brent Venables do the same thing. And honestly, as tough as the schedule is, and this is a very difficult league to navigate, and then you add Michigan to that, you're going to get several opportunities to showcase, hey, this is how good of a football team we are. Is the schedule tough enough that if they were to go 9-3, they make the college football playoff? I don't know. That's going to be a big conversation throughout the season. I just think it's a perfect recipe for Oklahoma to be able to live up and exceed the expectations that they've had preseason.
Well, Blaine, some people will say that, y'all are just glazing John Mateer. We don't really know. Look at his completion percentage last year. He was at Washington State, and they didn't really play the caliber of competition some of these other guys. At the end of the day, I'm always, when I turn on the tape, I'm going to evaluate the player. Obviously, know the context and the circumstance of what's around him. High school tape is different than college tape. Conferences are different. But I don't know how you turn on the tape to watch John Mateer and know that his offensive coordinator is coming with him. So he's not having to learn a new language. It's everybody else around him. And you look at the talent that Oklahoma has. We'll see when Giovanni Gibson gets healthy. We know about Deion and some of these other pieces. How do you not look at John Mateer and say, at least this guy has got a ton of potential? Because, he's balling when you turn the tape on.
Well, I mean, can I ask you this? Who got drafted first last year to the NFL? Campbell, where do you play before?
It's
Miami. I know it's the ACC, and it's a different caliber of
defense. Well, he was from Washington
State. Recognized game. If you watch John Mateer's tape, you can see how talented this kid is. And you brought it up. Oklahoma last year is like watching a Final Destination movie.
Yeah.
Like everything that could go wrong went wrong, from injuries to getting unlucky, Jackson Arnold not panning out to what they thought he'd be. But if you look at this team this year, I think Oklahoma right now might have the best backfield in the country.
Yeah.
John Mateer, you bring in Jaden Ott, your offensive line, they got thrown into the fire last year, not that experienced. You were banged up. But now you bring all those guys back. And one thing I'll never worry about, really, when it comes to an Oklahoma team that we're not used to saying in the past, a Brent Venables coach team, I'm going to trust on defense. Now you bring in John Mateer, who's an absolute leader, a guy you can have confidence in. Your Superman on offense. Is the schedule daunting? Yes. But I think this year, if they can stay healthy, and I know that goes for a lot of teams, they have the roster to compete for an SEC championship.
Well, and Cone, I do want to bring this point up as well. You know, it does seem like, and again, we have not kicked off this year. We're going to have to see. But I have to assume, and I don't assume a lot because it makes an ass out of you and me, but I would have to assume if you're going to bring in a quarterback and then his offensive coordinator, a guy like Arbuckle, who's very respected in the coaching ranks, it felt like last year with Luttrell, that was a team with a head coach that's defensive with an offensive guy that was just okay, and it was like, don't screw it up and let the defense play well, in a little bit of a vein of what we saw Saban used to do and what Kirby Smart used to do, but then they had to evolve a little bit in what they did. You look at 2020 Alabama and some of the things that Georgia has done offensively, but it does feel like this offense is completely his. So it's not going to be hampered down by a philosophy coming from the top. They're going to let this man run his system, and Brent can truly keep his hands more on the defense, which I think at the end of the day, you got to let your coaches coach. And I feel like this may be the first year in a while that Venables has had that.
I'll tell you another piece that we need to talk about since we're on offense is bringing in Jaden Ott. And I'm really interested to see whether or not he can stay healthy for the entirety of this year. Because if so, you're talking about a guy who probably has a first round grade. Talking about assumptions, though, we're kind of all assuming that John Mateer is going to be the starting quarterback for Oklahoma this year. The breaking news yesterday was, no, John Mateer has sports gambling history on his Venmo. Do we know enough right now after this story just broke to go ahead and debunk this?
Yeah. So, and again, I'll always trust the guys that have never lied to me. I reached out to somebody close to Oklahoma yesterday, and when it came out that you saw the screenshots of him, I was told that this is he did not bet on sports. He's never bet on sports. This was a joke because they'd named their transaction something funny. There were some that also allegedly said turning gay, and like, look,
I'll go ahead and say this right now. When it comes to my Venmo, I'll Venmo someone $20 and I'll have the most diabolical comment.
For sure. Like, it's like a thing that people do.
It's just hard for me to believe. Okay. If you are going to make a joke about something and you're a college quarterback, I probably wouldn't put sports gambling.
No.
As
it's kind of like,
look, I'm all for a man paying his debt.
You can't just gloss over this. Did the kid turn gay or not?
No, if you've ever been in a locker room, there's a lot of jokes that get thrown around. I was told this is a nothing burger.
Okay.
He's going to be fine. John Mateer will.
All right, let me put a couple more check marks.
But I have heard, I actually have heard a couple of Auburn fans that say it needs to be a minimum 4-game suspension.
They'll somehow find a way to suspend Jim Harbaugh.
No, Hawkins will beat our ass. No, they'll bring in Hawkins. He'll beat our ass like he did in the fourth quarter last year. All right, so. Again, in the comments, we want to know, what do you have Oklahoma going regular season? Do you have them win the Natty this side or the other? Make sure if you're not subscribed that you do that.
Right now, from I'm on FanDuel.
Yep.
From a win total standpoint, they're sitting at the over 7.5 wins.
7.5.
Going off at plus money.
Ugh.
Plus 110.
Shit, Mateer may need to get in on that action. Okay, week one. I think we can move. Illinois State.
Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, no, look. You guys, they play football too.
Yeah.
Right? They play too. Take your check. Let's get Mateer warmed up. Let's not show too much, but show a little bit. And so we all got them starting 1-0. And then week two, fellas. I mean, this is a game.
I can't wait.
I cannot wait. I love that this is also a home and home too with Oklahoma and Michigan, with Michigan going to Oklahoma. Sherrone Moore, who played at Oklahoma, going back home. Going to get to see Bryce Underwood after they open with New Mexico, his first big true road test. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. It's going to be a physical brawl up front at the line of scrimmage. This is one where you may need to put the women and children to bed early. But I think Mateer makes a couple plays in the end. And because it's at home, I've got Oklahoma winning this one to go 2-0. If this game was in Ann Arbor, I would have probably leaned Michigan here, but I'm going to go Oklahoma at home to start out 2-0 and get the, you know, get the hype train rolling, right? Toot, toot.
I can't tell you how excited I am for this old school classic blue blood matchup and the only preseason ranked matchup slated currently right now for week 2. And I think Oklahoma is the correct pick right now, not only because of what you're talking about being in Norman and being at home, but also, look, we got to see Bryce Underwood. Yeah. If Michigan's truly going to start a true freshman at quarterback, let's see how well they were able to replace some of that top talent in Mason Graham and Kenneth Grant, you know, that big front seven that they had and Will Johnson at quarter and some of that. But I'll tell you what'll make it really interesting is Wink Martindale's defense. Remember last season, preseason, we thought this Michigan defense is going to be top five because of some of those names I just mentioned. And that's not how it started out. Texas went up to Ann Arbor and cooked them. Yeah. Later in the season, they hold the Buckeyes to 13 points. They beat Alabama. It's like, oh, well, that was the top five defense. Are they able to pick up right where they left off? That's something that's going to be really interesting to see. And with it being Sharon Moore's alma mater, those are a couple things that can make it interesting.
No, without a doubt. And again, I could just watch the whole line of scrimmage this game. I don't even have to watch the ball. But Blaine, it's not just that it is a road game for Michigan, but it's Bryce Underwood. It's where it's at in the schedule. It's so early. He hasn't had time to go through the gauntlet of, you know, when you look at Michigan's schedule of, hey, I've been to Nebraska, I've been to USC, I understand that now. This is week 2, first one on the road. I mean, you going to Michigan?
Look, no, I'm going to go Oklahoma here, but the Arbuckle Wink Martindale matchup is going to be probably
how much
the
motion?
Best thing.
How much pre-snap motion do
oh,
we
Oh, there's going to be a lot. I guarantee Wink will be ready for it. Hell, there's nothing he has.
No, he will be, but you still got to adjust to it. Yeah. Like, you can't just motion and me not do anything.
I just think we don't know enough about Bryce yet, but I love, good for Michigan, week 2, get him in early. Let's really find out. It kind of reminds me of Dune. When Hassan Gaib, he's walking towards the fire.
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes you got to get thrown into the fire to really figure it out. I think John Mateer's too much in this game. He makes a couple plays late. I think Michigan plays well, but I am taking Oklahoma in this football.
All right, so we all have Oklahoma 2-0. I'm sure the Texas fans are going to love that. Starting a podcast can feel overwhelming. You got scripts, you got setup, you got filming schedule, logos. We were trying to figure it all out, but what we found out is when you're launching something new, that to-do list, it's going to grow daily. It's like real life, like everything else. And that threatens to take over the rest of your life. Now, finding a tool that both helps and simplifies can be a game changer. And for millions of businesses, that tool is Shopify. Make that noise, Blaine.
Cha-ching!
David, please, make a better noise.
Cha-ching!
Thank you. That was awful, Blaine. What? Shopify powers millions of businesses worldwide and 10% of all U.S. e-commerce. With Shopify, they're behind everyone. From big names like Gymshark to that new brand you may have just discovered. Because starting out is simple. Just pick one of their hundreds of templates and customize it to match your style. There's no design skills needed. You don't need to be Da Vinci. As far as creating content, that's where the AI really shines. You need product descriptions or catchy headlines? Done. You want better product photos? They've got you covered. And the best part is how easy marketing becomes. You can reach your customers wherever they are, whether they're doom scrolling through social media, checking their email. But behind the scenes, Shopify is going to handle everything else. Inventory, shipping, returns, all the details you don't want to worry about. Because the truth is, if you're ready to sell something, Shopify is ready for you. So turn your big business idea into
cha-ching!
Cha-ching!
Better
okay,
with
good.
Shopify on your side. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/crane. That's shopify.com/crain. Check them out. It's a great way to do business with Shopify. All right, third week at Temple. Look, if you go to Temple, congrats. You know, I go to Episcopalian Church, but that's good for you. Again, at the end of the day, Temple just doesn't have enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kurt Warner's son's not there anymore, I don't think. Remember E.J. Warner, or is he still there? I'd be interested to know that. Kurt Warner's son was at Temple. I don't know if he's still the starter there. If he transferred out, he might have. But I don't care if it was E.J. or, honestly, Kurt Warner. Temple's not winning that game. It's weird they play this on the road.
Yeah, it kind of is.
In Philly.
Shabbat Shalom, 3-0.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Shabbat. It's my favorite.
He's at Fresno State.
Fresno State. That's where he transferred to. Yep. Okay. All right. So we all have OU at 3-0. And then week 4, Auburn comes to town. And boy, in my heart of hearts, in places that I don't feel comfortable talking about, I would love to pick Auburn here. But I want to be right. I want to be right. And Jackson Arnold going back to Oklahoma, I'm telling you what. Even if it starts out great for Auburn, even if it starts out great and Jackson Arnold looks great, I still don't feel good about this one. And with me, that'll mean Oklahoma's 3-0. They're trending in a big direction. You win this one, then you got Kent State. the next week. So you're definitely going to be 5-0. Again, would love to put an L here for Oklahoma, but I think they're too much. I think they're better than what they were last year. And they basically beat Auburn with one hand tied behind their back, in Jordan Hare, with what they did in the fourth quarter. But unfortunately for Oklahoma, Peyton Thorne's not there anymore, but Jackson Arnold, I'm sure they're not shaking in their boots about that one, right?
Well, I have Auburn 3-0 entering this game, which would probably make this a ranked matchup. And I have Oklahoma winning, going to 4-0. Any chance that Jackson Arnold, Auburn's quarterback, coming back to Norman, Oklahoma, freaks out and makes this an interesting
freaks game? Out in a good way?
Yes.
No.
Zero chance.
No, I don't think, no, I don't think not he plays one, terrible, not, but I trust John Mateer, especially this game being at Oklahoma, to come through in the clutch a lot more than I trust anybody on Auburn's sideline other than Cam Coleman, Eric Singleton Jr. Other than that, give me Oklahoma. I think this is a double two touchdown win for Oklahoma, not even that close.
Probably. All right, so we all have OU winning that one. So we all have OU at 4-0. Which means we're all going to have Oklahoma at 5-0.
Yeah, you got that bye week, though, the week after Auburn.
The week after Auburn. Then you got Kent State, which is, I don't want to call it a double bye, but it kind of, it's like 1.5. It's like a 1.5 week bye. So 5-0, got top 10 for sure, for sure. Then a huge one. It's a Red River Shootout against Texas. We all know about this one. One of the top rivalries in all of sports. One of the top, you can make an argument it's the best. I don't agree with it, but I can see why people would make that argument at the fair. You know, a lot of talk about Arch. We talked about it a million times. We're going to have a good idea about kind of where he is with Texas by this point. I mean, this is going to be game, 6 for Oklahoma. And it's always, one of the things I respect about this rivalry is it's typically always a good game. There's been a couple blowouts here or there that we've seen from either side. But what I love about this one is a lot of times the underdog goes and wins. You remember when Dylan Gabriel and them beat Texas a couple years ago? It was a big deal. I think Oklahoma and John Mateer, and it goes back to the embarrassment factor. This is the source of it. This is where the upside down and Stranger Things is for OU after what happened last year with Texas coming in the SEC. They want to plant their flag. John Mateer's got one shot at this. You got one shot at it. Arch has got to be there for at least one more year. But John Mateer's got one shot at it. I think Oklahoma in a huge win. Huge win. Not saying they're going to beat their ass, but a huge win in a great game. Give me Oklahoma. And I know, Texas fans, tell me about it. Please be upset. I got Oklahoma starting 6-0.
Wow. What you got in this one?
I have Texas winning this football game. Mm. And the reason why I have Texas winning this game, and a lot of people last year, if you really didn't watch Texas, they made it to the semifinals. All Steve Sarkisian, all these weapons on offense, the motion, the eye candy. The reason Texas got to where they were last year is because of defense.
Yeah, and up
right?
front.
This year, there's going to be no drop-off. Anthony Hill Jr., Colin Simmons, Muhammad at corner. I think Texas's defense wins in this game. I think Mateer tries to do too much, maybe press a little bit, couple turnovers. I think Arch Manning, the offense, are not going to be superb, but I think they're going to play well enough in this game that where they can lean on that defense. I think Texas wins it, but I think it's close.
I am of the opinion, as we sit here in fall camp right now, that Texas is a bit overrated from that number one ranking that they almost unanimously have. And a bit of that is who they have at quarterback. And look, they have so much talent to replace from sending another, 13 guys to the NFL, 14 guys. And I am of the opinion, as I'm in the middle of telling you, that I think Oklahoma is a bit underrated. But what I want to be careful about is to not fall into this trap of, oh, that means Texas is going to be average and Oklahoma is going to be really, really good, right? Oklahoma could win this game, but as we sit here right now, I'm going with Texas in Red River.
Okay.
First loss of the season for Oklahoma.
Well, and people will say, some people are, and this happens every time you do a prediction, don't pick their team. They're like, oh, you guys hate Texas. No, we don't. Go look at who we picked last year. Like, it's just what we think is going
to
happen.
You guys, what do you mean? He picked Oklahoma to win. I picked Texas.
Yeah, true. That's true. So just be Blaine's friend. That's fine. Be Blaine's friend. All right, so at this point, I've got Oklahoma at 6-0. David, you have Oklahoma at
5-1.
5-1.
5-1.
You've got him at 5-1. So you're coming off a huge win. Huge win against Texas. Everybody, Brent Venables looking like the smartest man ever. Everybody who believed in Brent, they're lining up behind him. Our buddy Parker Thune's excited. Eddie Radosevich is unbelievably excited. Jim Nagy, bring him in, put on the cape, stare at the city late at night from a tall building. They're like, man, we're going to win the national championship. We just beat Texas. We're riding sky high. But this is why the SEC is different. Now you got to go to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. There is no time to be excited. There's absolutely no time. And then after South Carolina, congratulations, boys. You get to play Ole Miss and then Tennessee. I think this team gets a little too high this week. You're going on the road in a game that I think South Carolina's really going to need to put themselves in a position to make the college football playoff. Could be a huge win for them. Game day could possibly be there. Give me Shane Beamer and the Gamecocks. Mm-hmm. Lenoris freaks out. High-scoring game between both these teams. Possible overtime game. South Carolina at home, waving the white towels. Bring that chicken out. Let's have a drink, boys. Give me South Carolina.
Same, man. I got South Carolina in this football game. And South Carolina may not be as good or better than Oklahoma at the majority of positions across the football field, but they're going to be able to hold their own at enough positions that they're better on this given Saturday in Columbia. And just remember another thing. Shane Beamer, coming over from Oklahoma. Remember, he got Spencer Rattler to transfer over. Yep. A lot of ties to this one, just like we were talking about with Sherrone Moore and that being his alma mater. I got South Carolina, which for me moves Oklahoma from a 5-0 start to 5-2.
Got Williams-Brice, October 18th. Absolute powder keg. Jake, and I agree with a lot of what you said. I did have Oklahoma losing to Texas, and I also have Oklahoma losing to South Carolina
really?
In this game.
I think
it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Lenoris freaks out. I think Mateer freaks out. But I think Dylan Stewart, fourth quarter, I can already see him coming
Hawks
off the edge, strip sack, pick up, touchdown, all by himself. The difference is going to be that play, but I do think it's going to be a 30-plus point.
See, I think Kilgore gets a pick six.
So just for the record, none of us have Oklahoma going on the road and winning at South Carolina.
No.
Gotcha.
No.
Okay.
So because right now I have Oklahoma with one loss sitting there at 6-1 heading back home to play Ole Miss. Very excited to see Austin Simmons. I want to see what Pete Golding can do with an encore performance with some new personnel. We've talked about how much we love Santarin Perkins and some of the pieces that Ole Miss has. But I think Oklahoma right now, the way I'm looking at it, if I was an Oklahoma fan, is, all right, guys, or a coach, we're 6-1, all right, heading into October 25th, which means that we have 5 games left. We go 4-1, we are making the college football playoff. Not saying we're going to play in the SEC championship. That'd be great. We went out. We probably are. But if we go 4-1 over these last 5, we're going to be 10-2, and they're not leaving a 10-2 team with this schedule out of the college football playoff. So I've got them beating Ole Miss, handling business. I actually think this is a game where if Jade Knott, again, if he's healthy, we'll see, has a big one on the ground. I love what Lane has done at Ole Miss. I think this is a little bit of a step back year, and I think some Ole Miss fans, a decent amount, will agree. Give me Oklahoma to get back on the right side of it, get to 7-1 with a win at home over Ole Miss.
Yeah, I think so. I have the same thing, which, you know, back-to-back of being on the road and neutral site, it'll be great for them to get back to Norman, and that's where I haven't beaten Ole Miss.
Yeah, I got Oklahoma winning this game. I just don't know how much I trust Ole Miss's defense this year.
To be able to replicate.
Yeah, to replicate what they did last year. I think Austin Simmons is going to be a great piece. I don't think he's going to be Jackson Dart. I do think Ole Miss kind of takes a step back this year. But I like Oklahoma's defense in this game to be the difference.
Send Annie a voice note.
Hey, sis. So, okay, you know that cozy hoodie you always steal from Charlie after your workouts? Well, I just went to Lululemon and saw they have the same one for women now. I think it's called Steady State. Just throwing the idea out there since you haven't added your wish list in the group chat yet. Plus, I know how much you love matching Charlie. Anyway, talk later. I'll see you at Run Club.
Shop Women's Steady State now at Lululemon.com.
I had that dream again. My small business needs to hire, but I don't use LinkedIn. And I hire wrong. So then I'm doing IT, and when I go to plug the servers in, they become sentient. And they won't let us access our network unless we forward their chain emails and memes to more and more and more people, and then I wake up.
Don't let hiring nightmares ruin your dreams. LinkedIn Jobs' new AI assistant finds and invites best fit candidates to apply so you can discover talent you may have missed. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/quality. Start hiring today with LinkedIn.
All right, so sitting there, y'all have got them at, what, 6-2? I've got them at 7-1. This is a huge linchpin game for Oklahoma, the way that I have it. On the road the next week at Tennessee in Knoxville. We've talked about Tennessee's defense. I don't think they're going to be as good as they were last year, but I think they're still going to be pretty damn good. Offensively with Joey Aguilar, we're going to have to see you lose your top 3 pass catchers. We've seen some of the injury situations that Tennessee's already had at fall camp. The more I look at this Tennessee team, the more I'm worried that by this point in the season, I mean, when you've already played, because guys, listen to this 4-game stretch, or this 3-game stretch before they play Oklahoma. You got Arkansas at home. You go to Bama. You go to a Kentucky team that you know is going to be physical in Lexington. And then you get Oklahoma before you get into your bye week. I think Oklahoma realizes how big this moment is. They go and beat Tennessee on the road to put themselves in a position to go 2-1 in the last three and make the college football playoff. I think Oklahoma finds a way in a low-scoring game. A scary game that they're able to escape late. Give me the
This is a type of game where usually the home field advantage would probably tip the scales and I'd lean that direction, but I actually have Oklahoma going on the road and beating Tennessee.
If Nico was there, would that change your pick?
That would make it a little bit more interesting. I'm not sure, though. We were talking about this at the cigar bar with some Tennessee fans. I was actually surprised at how many of them agreed with this pick as well. I think that they understand, like, hey, Tennessee, even there in K-Town, like, Oklahoma's going to come in and they're going to be ready to roll. This is one, I mean, just put a circle around it, man. I can't wait for this. But I have Oklahoma getting a huge road win here.
I stared at this game for a long time.
Does it feel trappy to you? Especially if Tennessee's like
going
5-3
at Tennessee.
It's tough.
You've coached there. Mm-hmm. It's a different experience, right? It's just something you can only know if you go and do it. I think Oklahoma will win this game, but I think Tennessee keeps it as tight as possible. It's just too many questions at the quarterback position, at the pass catching, the receiver position for Tennessee. There's a lot more things I can trust when it comes to Oklahoma. So I'm taking Oklahoma as well. So that's a clean sweep right there for Oklahoma at Tennessee.
Yep. All right. So that's going to get Oklahoma into their second bye week as they go into the stretch run of three straight games. So at this point, guys, I've got them 8-1 with three left.
Yep.
You've got them 7-2.
You've got them
7-2. So right off the bye week. Now, I do want to make this point. Alabama, before they play Oklahoma, plays LSU at home. Oklahoma is coming off a bye. So you'd say, Jake, this is a perfect time.
Yeah.
OU's going to get them. They're going to be healthy. They're going to be rested up. It's still Alabama. And I've got Alabama coming off a huge win against LSU, playing a conference game after already having lost a conference game to Georgia. So to make the SEC championship, probably going to have to win this one unless we get a crazy tiebreaker scenario, which we could have this year. But I think Alabama at home, it's in T-Town. All right? It's in T-Town. Alabama finds a way. Remember what happened last year? Oklahoma broke their hearts late in the season. Give me Bama at home to give Oklahoma their second loss. With two to go.
That's the sound they're going
to
make.
If you told me you have to go on the road and play Alabama in Tuscaloosa, this is the scenario that I would want. I'm coming off a bye week, and they're coming off of playing LSU. The only problem is to tip that balance back in Alabama's favor is what you did to them last year. Pretty much ruined their season, didn't make the college football playoff, and they didn't even score a touchdown in Norman. Alabama hadn't forgotten that. Kalen DeBoer hadn't forgotten that. Most of that locker room hadn't forgotten that. And so I got Alabama with a check mark in Tuscaloosa.
It's not a bird. It's not a plane, fellas. It's John Mateer.
Mm.
This is going to be John Mateer's Johnny Manziel game where he just
Heisman moment
at Bama and basically puts it on his shoulders and wins it by himself. You're coming off the bye week. Look, I know y'all brought it up, but I still think you come off a bye week, you're getting healthy after Alabama probably just went to a just grudge match for four quarters against LSU is riding that high. John Mateer's the difference in this game. I got Oklahoma going into Tuscaloosa and beating Alabama.
All right. So with two games left.
Wow.
That would be massive. With
Don't forget it either now.
So 8-2 right now. I've got them 8-2. You've got them.
7-3.
7-3. You got them 7-3. All right. Which we've talked about, 9-3. Oklahoma's got one of them schedules. You could possibly still get in. But then you get Missouri at home. Talked a lot about Missouri. I don't think Missouri's going to be able to run the ball, which means I don't think Missouri's going to be able to go on the road and score against Oklahoma. You may get a tight end delay, something like that. I just think Missouri, you know, by the time we get halfway through the third quarter, that defense back's going to be broken. So give me Oklahoma at home. And when they need, they have to have it.
Okay.
But I got them beating Missouri, guys, to move to 9-2. With a showdown on the horizon. But we're going to get to. Let's go Blaine first here.
If this game was at Missouri, I would definitely still pick Oklahoma.
Okay.
I think Oklahoma wins this game. Too much talent. And Missouri's going to take a step back this year with everything they lost. You like that, Dave?
M. Night Shyamalan over there.
Oklahoma. I have nothing. It's like an old
That's
school.
A tough one to follow. That's a tough one to follow. All right. So Last game of the year.
God, schedule sucks.
And oh, it sucks. It sucks so bad. You get LSU at home. And at this point, the way, because we already did our LSU prediction show, so you can watch that. I've got both of these teams at 9-2 heading in, which means this is a de facto play-in game for the college football playoff. If you win, you go 10-2, you're in. All right, you're in. So whoever wins this one, you can go ahead and we're going to get our playoff teams, you know, later. But you can surmise that one of these teams made it. And I think either one could have a chance at 9-3, depending on how the season goes. But they're playing LSU at home. I am going purely on where this game is played. Do I think Oklahoma is miles better than LSU? I don't. I do worry about LSU being able to run the ball. But wherever this game was played, the location, if it was in Baton Rouge, I was going to choose LSU. If it was in Norman, I'm going to choose Oklahoma. Survey says Norman, Oklahoma, 10-2.
10-2.
10-2, which means you're in the dance. Don't know about the SEC championship game. I'm out to see how it all plays out. Look at the tiebreakers, put liquid paper on a B, do all that stuff. But Oklahoma, 10-2. And if it works out, just remember, we were on Oklahoma before everybody else started jumping on this damn bandwagon. If it doesn't work out, you just forget that we said anything, and you get pissed at everybody else. That's how it works.
I told you when we did our LSU prediction, man, I stared at this game for like a half hour just looking at it, man, because I know it's August right now, but just forecasting ahead to November, the implications of this game could be as massive as what you're talking about. And like I told you in the LSU prediction, I got Oklahoma winning this one in Norman, man. So that would be 9-3 for me. Is that good enough to get in the college football playoff? To be determined. Don't know about the SEC championship game, like Jake said, but 9-3 for Brent Venables, pretty solid year.
I wonder, I think majority of Oklahoma fans would say no to take 9-3 right now. Because again, 9-3, you
feel. I like that.
Right at that. Yeah, I know, I like it too. That's why they fit in. That's why they're nuts like we are. That's why this works.
I'm taking Oklahoma in this game too. Kind of deciding factor, two things here. One, it's at Oklahoma, and two, LSU couldn't tackle Nancy Pelosi last year. So there's a lot of things I still don't trust with them. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think being at Norman is going to be the difference.
So
10-2.
10-2, you got them 10-2. Wow, God. You better hope they play good. All right.
Ain't no hope, baby.
I can already feel in the comments. Okay, but that's fine. Dissent moves us forward. Let us know.
Yeah, you're wrong.
Give us what you have Oklahoma going for the regular season. You can go beyond if you want. Boys, if that happens, could we have an Oklahoma matchup in the playoff? How crazy would that be? Little Red River shootout postseason style? That's a shootout I'd love to be a part of. We appreciate you guys being a part of Crane & Company. Make sure, again, not subscribed that you do that. Check out all of our fantastic sponsors too, and like the chances of me not just being ready for kickoff to be here, but also enjoying doing the prediction videos. We're going.